Okay, good morning. Thank you everyone for coming. We're going to be discussing today, Bezu Hashem, the sugya, which is, of course, in Agaya Ben Yonah Dioma. It's applicable to this time of year, the time Ben Amtsarim. Some of the Gemaras which discuss the halachas of Zeche LeMikdash and as well the halachas of Zeche LeChorban. So I'd like to start with the Mishnah in Sukkah, which is number one on the source sheets. The same Mishnah also appears in Rosh Hashanah and a very similar Gemara there. The Mishnah says as follows: Berishona originally, Hayalulav Nito Mikdash Shiva. The lulav was taken by the Beis Hamikdash all 7 days of Sukkot, but in Medina, everywhere outside of Yerushalayim, away from the Beis Hamikdash, Yom Echad was only taken one day, and this is learned out from the Psukim in the Torah. However, Mishachar Beis Hamikdash, once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we're talking here about the second Beis Hamikdash. Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai made a takana, sheyeh lulav nito b'medina shiva zeche l'mikdash. Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai decreed that we should take the lulav as well nowadays, all 7 days of Sukkot, to commemorate what used to be in the Beis HaMikdash. So here we have a halacha mufreshes b'Torah. The Torah tells us specifically that b'medina, it's only one day, the first day of Yontif, and only by the Beis HaMikdash, it's all 7 days. Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai felt, we'll discuss shortly why, that now that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we have to make sure that we continue to do it all 7 days, anywhere we are throughout the globe. Furthermore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was mesaken v'shiyehe yom hanaf kulei aser, the day of waving should be completely aser. What's that referring to? That's the second day of Pesach, where we have the mitzvah to bring the Karban HaOmer, which allows the new wheat, the chadash, to be eaten in the Medina throughout anywhere besides the Beis HaMikdash. And so technically, that should be mutter. Now we have no Beis HaMikdash, it should be mutter immediately in the beginning of the second day of Pesach. Because in the times of Beis HaMikdash, the Karban Omer was maturid. Now there's no Karban Omer, so the day should be maturid. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takana that the whole second day of Pesach should as well be usher in the new grain, and we should have to wait till the third day of Pesach to partake in the new grain. So the Gemara asks, how did Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai know this concept that it's appropriate to make Zeche LeMikdash? So the Gemara expounds on Rabbi Yochanan to Amar Kro. We quote the pasuk in Yirmiyah, which says, ki ale arucha loch, Hashem says, I will heal you from your wounds, and from within the wound itself, I will find the healing. I am Hashem, ki nidacha karulach, because you are called, you, the Jewish people, us, we are called a forsaken one by the nations of the world. Tziyin hi doresh ein la. Tziyin, it is, referring to the Beis HaMikdash, doresh ein la, there's no one to look out for it, so to speak. The Gemara darshan's doresh ein la, mechlal debayij risha. Since no one is seeking out for it, that is a tvi on us, that is forcing us to actually proactively now go out and do things to remember the Mikdash. So from this pasuk in Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai pulled up this idea of Zeche LeMikdash. And from here the Gemara says, is the source that we take lulav all 7 days of Sukkot, and as well it's going to be the Mekar for the next halacha, the whole second day of Pesach is Aser and Chadash as well. The Gemara just continues a couple more lines over here. Why are we Asering the whole second day of Pesach? My time of the Gemara asks, because Meheira Yibon Beis HaMikdash, speedily in our days, Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. V'yarim, when everyone will say, Yishtake, last year, Mila Yechalmu Beheira Mizrach, we ate Chadash right away the morning of the second day of Pesach. So now also, Hashanami Nechol, the Gemara says, V'inu lo yadi, people won't realize the Ishtake, the previous years, the lo havi Beis HaMikdash, was no Beis HaMikdash, Heir Mizrach Heter, the fact that the sun rose in the east was just allowed it. Hashadika Beis HaMikdash, Omrat, you have to wait for the carbon Omrat to be brought, whatever time of day that was. You know, it's typically in the morning, but you have to wait. So let's say, for argument's sake, 9 o'clock in the morning. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, in order to make sure people don't come to this mistake, we'll say the whole second day of Pesach is Aser in Chadash. So again, very clearly the Gemara here is telling, the Mishnah told us two takanas Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted. Number one, we take lulav all 7 days of Sukkot. Number two, the whole second day of Pesach is Aser b'Chadash. The Makar for this concept is the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. This is an important point. Rabbi Yochanan explains, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana is based on a pasuk of Yirmiyah, the end of the pasuk of Tzion hi dorish ein la, no one seeking out Tzion, and therefore we have to be proactive and seek out to remember the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Tshuvas points out, just to quote one line of the Tshuva here, it's a much longer Tshuva, but just pulled out one line where he writes this point, that the reason why we take lulav all 7 days of Sukkot, the Gemara is telling us it's because it's to remember the Beis HaMikdash. So he says it's imperative that we teach our children, we teach our household members, that the reason why we're taking the lulav nowadays all 7 days is not because it's a mitzvah in the Torah. It's not a mitzvah in the Torah. It's a mitzvah for us to remember the Beis HaMikdash. And by taking the lulav for 7 days, we're actively remembering the Beis HaMikdash. People often don't think of this. Why am I taking lulav a second day? Because it's Sukkot, I'm taking lulav. It's true it's Sukkot, that's why we're taking lulav. It's not Hanukkah, we don't take the lulav on Hanukkah. But the reason why we're taking it on the second, third, and fourth day, etc., is because we have to be proactively thinking about what we're lacking and what we had the splendor and the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash. It's something to remember when it comes Sukkot.
But only the first day is the Daraisa.
First day only is the Daraisa, nowadays, out of the Beis HaMikdash, correct. And the Beis HaMikdash itself, all 7 days is the Daraisa. There is a Shita on the Rishonim, which Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal was machmir for, that holds that even Bisman Hazeh, in the old city of Yerushalayim, there's still a chi of the Araisa to take Luv and Eshek, and therefore Rabbi Yashiv and others in Yerushalayim have this minig as well, that they would go dafka every day of Chol HaMoed to the old city and shake Luv and Eshek again there, because if they get that, they fulfill that obligation according to those opinion of the Rishonim that hold even Bisman Hazeh, there is a chi of the Araisa. That's not the mainstream approach, so to speak. If we have the opportunity to be in Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, it's a great, you know, it's a great schus to... You spend all that money. People spend thousands of dollars to take their family to for Yontif, to Sukkot, to Eretz Yisrael, and then they have this opportunity in the mitzvah. Often they miss out because they're going up, north, south, whatever. All this great sightseeing, but it's a great opportunity for a mitzvah if you have the option of doing it.
It's only in the old city.
Old city, yeah, near where you can see the Kaisel, yeah. Okay, so Chassam Sefer number two, page number two in the booklets on source number three, Chassam Sefer on the Gemara there in Sukkah raises a couple of very key questions here. Before I get to Chassam Sefer, I just wanted to point out, although I'm just only speaking out this Gemara right now, Zecher LeMikdash, there are other cases in Halacha as well where we do things Zecher LeMikdash, just to mention a few. The Gemara in Yuma discusses a fascinating concept that used to be in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, where they wanted to make sure the Kohen Gadol stayed up all night. They didn't want him to sleep the night of Yom Kippur for specific reasons. The Gemara did discuss this. They shouldn't have come to any Tumah. And they kept him up all night. The Gemara discusses one of the ways he used to keep him up all night was having the people in Yerushalayim up all night learning Torah. Yom Kippur night, what else is there to do? Everyone's learning Torah. And the Gemara discusses even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there were people who stayed up all Yom Kippur night and learned Torah. To do it, Zecher LeMikdash, like the way it used to be in times of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, though, that most people discontinued that practice because, unfortunately, not everybody was capable of learning Torah all night, and people would come to do Averos instead of learning Torah, so it wasn't worth the fact people were staying up all night. But that idea the Gemara brings was Zecher LeMikdash. I saw in from Rav Salvechik Zatzal, he brought down, his Talmidim recorded that he lamented on certain things that he felt that in Europe, the Jews kept certain customs that they felt got lost in America. One of the customs he felt was that in Europe, he said he never saw anybody leave shul on Yom Kippur. There was no such thing, Yom Kippur night. Where'd you go? Home? What are you going home for? There's no suda. There's nothing to do. You stay in shul all night. He said it was pashut as a kid. All the men stayed in shul Yom Kippur night. He said he could understand how it became in America that everyone goes home Yom Kippur night and has a nice, comfortable sleep in their bed. You know, that was one of the things he lamented that he missed from his European days. But anyway, the Gemara discusses... Officer Yishak from Boston. So, anyways, the Gemara discussed that as an idea of doing that as a Zecher LeMikdash. Another idea the Gemara discussed, Zecher LeMikdash, we're all familiar with, Kairich, the sandwich we make by the Pesach Seder, right? It's Zecher LeMikdash keHillel, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, right? Hillel had this whole sandwich of Pesach Matzah and Mar, so we don't have the Pesach nowadays, unfortunately, but we have a sandwich to represent that idea of Zecher LeMikdash. There's another interesting halacha we have in Birchas Kehanim. We're all familiar with, we're trained from when we're young, that when the Kahanim raise their hands to Duchen, you can't look. Kahanim cover their hands with the talis, we cover our face with the talis. If you're a little child, you go under your father's talis, it's very exciting, you can't look at the Kahanim. Now, where does that come from? That comes from the fact that Gemara tells us that in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kahanim would Duchen, the Shekhinah, something would come down, there would be some presence there resting on the hands of the Kahanim, and it was forbidden to even look for a second at the hands of the Kahanim. However, the halacha now is, nowadays, the Mishnah Berurah says, according to the Magen Avraham, that we can't be mistakel at the hands of the Kohanim. We can't stare excessively at the hands of the Kohanim. But he says, Riyah ba'alma, just to quickly, if you see it for a second, you didn't do anything wrong. But why don't? Because nowadays, we try, we're having the Berchas Kohanim, only it's in Chutzlar, it's only on Yom Tovim, but We don't have the same madrega of the Shekhinah coming down like it was in the Beis HaMikdash, but we try to keep this halacha not to look at the hands of the Kohanim as well for the same idea, says the Mishnah Berurah, as a Zeichel HaMikdash. That's what they did, Birchas Kohanim and HaMikdash, so we try to emulate the way they did it there as well. These are just other, it comes up many other places in halacha as well, but this is the main Gemara which discusses Zeichel HaMikdash. That's why I brought out this particular Gemara. Now to the Chassam Sofer, which is again source number 3 on the sheets. The Chassam Sofer lays down 3 basic questions on this Gemara. He says, okay, like we said before, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made this takana after the second Beis HaMikdash. So he asks, what happened after the first Beis HaMikdash? Did the Nevi'im make takanos? If the Nevi'im did make takanos, so what did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai do 400 plus years later? What was he mechadesh? He wasn't mechadesh anything. Of course, maybe in the years the second Beis HaMikdash stood, they didn't have to do it, but we wouldn't say Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted it. It was already in place from before. If you'll say that the Nevi'im did not institute these decrees, asked the Chassam Sofer in the second question, then why not? Why didn't the Nevi'im do it? The Pasuk implies in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is talking about the first Beis HaMikdash, that Tzion needs Drisha. We have to seek it out. So again, it's a two-part question. If they did do it, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't invent anything. If they didn't do it, why not? Why wasn't there this idea that we're seeking out to remember the Beis HaMikdash? Thirdly, the Chassam Sofer points out is that the Pasuk tells us that Hashem will bring us the refuah because we are forsaken and Sion is forsaken. That's what the Pasuk says, like we spoke out before. Ask the Chassam Sofer, if we're not, Sion is not forsaken anymore, we're remembering Sion, it's not lost. We're doing all these institutions we have to remember Sion. So are we, so to speak, shooting ourselves in the foot by now remembering all the glory of the Beis HaMikdash? Again, the Pasuk was lamenting the fact that no one, Tzion is forsaken, it's all forgotten, the whole Beis HaMikdash. It's not true. We have all these various takanas that Chazal are telling us to do to goof or remember the Beis HaMikdash. So ask the Chassam Sofer, are we fulfilling the verse? Or are we now saying that we can't fulfill the verse? The verse can't be fulfilled, so to speak, because we're actually doing things which are remembering the Beis HaMikdash. So Chassam Sofer explains, he takes the Pasuk and he brings a Medrash. The Medrash on this Pasuk says, interesting Medrash, it says, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that the Gemara was quoting, the beginning of the Pasuk said, Mimakaisecha erpaecha, from your wounds itself, I will heal you. The Medrash says, this is only a midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that sometimes, from within the wound itself, could come the healing. He says, that was the chisaron, that was what the problem was, at the binyan, at the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. When after the short galus of 70 years, the Purim story, etc., we're coming back to the Beis HaMikdash. But we're not really in charge. The Pasuk in Ezra tells us, Ki avodim anachnu, ubavodeseinu loy azavunu, alekeinu vayetaleinu chesed lefnei malchei paras. He quotes the Pasuk in Ezra that we were still under the dominion of Koresh and Daryavesh. They allowed us to go back and they helped us even build the Beis HaMikdash, but we weren't fully free from under their shlita, from under their reign. Says the Chassam Sofer, that was something which was felt, which is something which was lacking in the binyan of the bias, and therefore ultimately that bias couldn't have a kiyum forever, because it was coming, duch, was coming through the fact that we got healed through something that was not pure, so to speak, pure Yad Hashem to bring us back to Tzion. He says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai realized, he says, where I underlined, after the destruction of first bias, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai realized they did not do this, they did not actively seek out Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Al Kain says, Chassam Sofer, therefore, Klal Yisrael, at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, did not merit to have a full Geula. Rak Mimaka Atzma Tikkun Refuah. There was only some type of healing from within the malady itself. V'hainu de'ka'amakra, the pasuk which says, V'makai secha erpecha, this pasuk in Yirmiyah, V'loi refuah kaidin l'maka. It was not a fulfillment of what Chazal tells us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always putting the refuah before he gives us the maka. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai realized, why was this a chisaron? Because Tzion hi darish ein la. Therefore, at the time of destruction, second Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is there, he's at that tkufa. Al zeh lasa yishdrish l'tzion, he says right away, oh, I see the Chorban's happening. It's setting into motion. Right away, we have to set up now as the Chorban is happening. As we're going into Golos, the Refuah Kaidim Lamaka. The Zeichel HaMikdash, he sets up the Zeichel HaMikdash, Kadesh Nizke, Legu'ula, Shlema, the Refuah Kaidim Lamaka. More than now, as the illness, so to speak, of the Chorban is setting in, as we're getting stricken with this disease of the Chorban. We're already now practicing these acts of helping ourselves of this refuah, so that we'll be already in good shape when the Binyan Bayis Shlishi comes back. He says that's what Chazal also tells us, of course, that before Mashiach was born already, before the Chorban. Now, what exactly that means doesn't mean necessarily he's alive physically today, but there's a certain aspect of the Gula that's already in place before the Chorban happens. The Bayis Shlishi, the Chazal Medrash, Rashi brings down, Chazal tell us it's already up, the building is there, it's a prefab building, so to speak. It's ready to come down at the blink of an eye if we're going to be zochet to it. So all the refuah comes kaid l'maka, and that's the Gula Shalema that we're looking forward to in Chorban Bayis. In Binya Bayis Shlishi. So that's Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. It's Siyan Hidar Shein Law. We have to. It's the Refuah Koyd Lamaka. We have to do it. It's true that it could be forsaken if we don't actively think about it. But Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was Misakin that we have to do things from the onset, from the beginning of the Chorban, or even as the Chorban is happening, in order to actively have Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash in our minds. He explains that pshat in the Psukim, that's pshat, I'm sorry, in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah has these two ideas particularly together. Because, again, the two things the Mishnah told us was to take the lulav all 7 days, and the next one is Yom Hanaf Kula Yasser. The second day of Pesach is Asr in Chadash. Says the Chassam Sofer, why is this going, what's the juxtaposition, these two things particularly? He says, because the Gemara explains, by the fact that we're fulfilling the idea of taking the lulav all 7 days, of doing the Zeicha HaMikdash, we're going to have right away that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come back, hopefully, Meher B'Yameinu. So that's why the Gemara says we have to keep the second day of Pesach completely Aser and Chadosh, because Meher B'Yameinu is going to come right back. We'll say, oh, last year it wasn't like this, meaning it's going to be fresh in our minds, or hopefully it should be fresh in our minds, the idea of what we did in the Beis HaMikdash. Last year we ate Chadash right away in the morning. So that's why the Gemara gets busy. I didn't quote the rest of the Gemara over there in Sukkah. The Gemara gets involved in a technical discussion. When exactly the Beis HaMikdash, what time of day could the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt to fit in with this technical issue of being concerned that Chadash won't be available right away for us in the morning. But the idea again is that at the time of the Chorban Bayis Sheni, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is there and he realizes that we have to set up the Refuah Kodim L'maka, and therefore he specifically institutes these things now at the Chorban Bayis Sheni, although they did not have them at Chorban Bayis Rishon. So this is all Shlav 1, Stage 1 in Gemaras, which are discussing ideas which the Gemara calls Zecher L'Mikdash. Now I'll move on to number 4 on the third page, where the Gemara in Baba Basra at the end of the third perek discusses halachas which are categorized as Zecher L'Chorban.
So you used the system kind of there, Biachin Bazakri held, actually was before the actual Chorban.
And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah gets involved exactly when the Biachin Bazakri lived, and it says he lived, it was 40 years. He was a Talmud, the Gemara goes through different stages, he lived 120 years. And the Gemara explains it must be that he instituted these takanas before, even though he wasn't a Rebbe yet, he wasn't Rosh Hashiva yet, but as a Talmud, he already brought these ideas up to his Rebbeim, and since they liked it so much, they were massacring it in his name. So it was like, you know, from his beginning of his career, so to speak, as being Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, these takanas set him into place.
But it wasn't after the last brick fell down.
Right.
He said, you know, next year let's do
it. No, it was ready from something. I don't know exactly. I can't say exactly the date, so to speak. But it seems like he already had instituted these or set these into motion before the final destruction. So the Gemara in Baba Basra at the end of the third perek now discusses various halachas which are classified as Zeicher L'Chorban. The Gemara there in Baba Basra is discussing a halacha seemingly unrelated to the Chorban. The Gemara there is discussing, Baba Basra, and particularly Cheskes Abatim, is dedicated to various halachas of Chayshim Rishpat. And there it's discussing, let's say, I want to build up, I own a property, which is right next to Rosh Hashanah, I'm a public thoroughfare, and I want to extend my house, a porch, some type of balcony, and it goes into Rosh Hashanah. It'll butt into Rosh Hashanah. That's usher because I'm causing a hezek to the people that are in Rosh Hashanah. They come bang into my stuff, and obviously I can't do that. But let's say I buy a property and it already has these easement rights, already has the right to have this balcony already was extending into Rosh Hashanah, and people already were used to it. So if that was already the chazaka, that's already the way it was, the Mishnah says that if I buy such a property, I can keep it as such. And from that, the Gemara gets into a discussion. What would happen? So let's say a tornado comes, or something happens, and the house falls down, and now I want to rebuild that property. Do I still have the right to keep that balcony as it was, or now, since the house fell down, I have to keep with the current zoning law, so to speak, and pull back my balcony, can't go over into a Shusram at all. And the Gemara first says, you do not, if it falls down, you do have the right to build it up again the same way it was originally. And the Gemara asks, why is that so? We have a halacha that a person, when he builds a house, Bizman Azek, cannot build it completely with limestone. When he plasters his house, he can't make it with limestone. He can't make it with certain beautiful pictures. I don't know exactly what these pictures were, but sometimes beautiful decorations. Bizman Azek, that's the first line where it's unlined. Ein Mesaidin, Ein Mechayrin, Ein Mefaychin. You can't plaster the house with lime, and you can't make various beautiful images on the house. Bizman Azek. However, look, a chatzar misuyedes, if you already bought a chatzar, a house with a whole property that already was fully, limed and it was plastered, then harezu b'chaskasa, you can keep it. However, nafla, if it fell down, then you can't build in the same fashion. So how come we said, when it comes to chayshim mishpat, when it comes to the halacha of extending our balconies or porches into shusram, we said if it falls down, you have that same legal right to build a balcony, but the halacha of building a beautiful home, building a house that's completely full of plaster or it's plaster with lime, and that the Gemara didn't tell us the reason why not yet, but as we'll see shortly in a moment, that's because of a zecher, the Chorban, remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but if that fell down, you can't rebuild it the same beautiful way. You have to now rebuild it in a way which shows the Zeicha L'Chorban. The Gemara says, okay, there's a difference between Chayshe Mishpat and this halacha of Zeicha L'Chorban. And from here, the Gemara now goes into a halacha that a person cannot completely plaster his home, Bizman Hazeh, with full, 100% pure plaster. If he mixes in other ingredients, which sort of diminishes from the splendor and the shine of the house, the Gemara says, it's mutter. And this is because of Zeicha L'Chorban that we have to remember the fact that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash nowadays. So when we build our own houses, we can't build them in such a splendorous fashion. The Gemara continues the third wide line, says Tana Rabbanan. Now the Gemara says a fascinating story. When the second bias was destroyed, there was a group of Prushan, of aesthetics, that they set out, they're making a Prushan club, and there's no meat and no wine anymore. And obviously this was not sanctioned by the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yeshua goes over them and challenges them and says, excuse me, my fine fellow Jews, why have you stopped eating meat and drinking wine? They said, what do you mean? How can we eat meat? We used to have the Beis HaMikdash and there were Kabbanas being brought. The Mizbeach ate meat. Now there's no Mizbeach. We can't eat meat. How can we drink wine? It used to be in the Beis HaMikdash and there were all these wine libations. And this Chayayim brought on top of Mizbeach. They don't have that anymore. We have to refrain from wine. So Rabbi Yeshua challenges them and says, oh yeah, you're not going to eat meat and drink wine. How can you eat bread? You shouldn't be eat bread anymore because part of the menachos, part of the karbanos as well, came with a certain amount of bread. So how can you eat bread? They said, okay, you're right. We'll stop eating bread. We'll just have fruits. You're right. We agree with you. Yeshua says, yeah, fruits? You can't eat fruits anymore. We don't bring bikurim anymore. We used to bring the first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, to a beautiful mitzvah bikurim. There's no Beis HaMikdash anymore. You can't eat fruits anymore. They said, okay, you're right. We won't eat fruits from the Zion Minim. Because only the Zion Minim, the seven species, those are the ones that have chiv of bikurim, regular apples and oranges. Okay, we'll get by with apples, oranges, and watermelons, whatever. We'll get by with such a diet. He said, oh yeah? Here comes his checkmate. How are you going to drink water? They used to bring water in the Beis HaMikdash, Nisach HaMayim. It was part of the Beis HaMikdash service. You can't drink water anymore. You shall die of thirst. I said, okay, you're right. What do we do? We're stuck. Okay. So he says, okay, listen. You guys, you're on the right path, so to speak. You have the good intentions that you want to do things which are Zeicha L'Chorban. But we can never make a gezeira. We can never set up a decree for Klal Yisrael. She'enat tzibo yachalamba. It's something which is impossible. So let me tell you what the Chacham told us, what the halacha is. So he tells them, where it's underlined about halfway down the page, he says, Elakach amru chachamim, Rabbi Yeshua tells them, Sod adam beisa basin, you can build yourself a nice house with and plaster it. However, umishayir by davar muat, leave over something which is unfinished. The Gemara says, how much is that? Rabbi Yeshua says, it's an amma al amma, roughly 22 inches by 22 inches. Amar Rav Chizdab, and that, where should that be? Keneged HaPesach, it should be near the door, so when you come in, you see it right away. So first of all, he tells them, this is how we do Zeicha L'Chorban. I'm going to tell you. Number one, in your home, when you build your home, make sure you leave a certain area, Amma by Amma, so everyone should remember the Zeicha L'Chorban when you come into your home. Number two, he tells them, Osa Adam Kol Tarkei Suda. You can set up your Suda, your feast. However, Mishayir Badovram Wu, leave something out off the menu. Something which you usually have on the menu, leave it off. The Gemara gives an example of some type of Kasa de Harsana, some type of fish dish, I know, some type of herring. I don't know exactly what it is. Don't serve it. To also remember the Chorban, he says, the next thing Rabbi Shua tells them is a woman could adorn or put on all her jewelry, kol tachshita, but leave something off. The Gemara gives an example exactly what that is, something called bas tzedaah, some type of beauty thing, that treatment the women used to do on the hair that was on the temples. I don't know exactly what it is, but some idea to leave one thing less to remember the Chorban. The Gemara says, how do we know? Rabbi Shua says, how do I know we should do this? Where does this idea come from? He says, Shnemar, the Pasuk says, you all know it's a famous song, Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, if we forget Yerushalayim, Tishkach Yemini, we should lose our right hand, so to speak. Tidbak L'shayim L'chiki, our tongue should stick to the palate of our mouth, meaning we have an obligation to remember Yerushalayim, otherwise we shouldn't be here. So Rabbi Shua is telling him specifically, these are things we should do. You had a great idea to cut back and make this whole diet. That's not what Chacham told us. The Chacham told us these three specific things: in the house, to leave an open area, by the Suda, to leave off a certain dish, and by a woman, when she puts on all her jewelry, to use one less piece of jewelry. Okay, we'll get to the halacha. Okay, fine. Hold on that thought for a minute. Then the Gemara says another idea, as many of us are familiar with, when it comes time for a chassan, before he goes down to the chuppah, he puts a little ash on the makam of his tefillin, as well as his eichel l'chorban. And the Gemara says two lines later, v'chol ha-mis'abel Yerushalayim, anyone who mourns properly Yerushalayim, zoyche v'roi v'simchasa, he will merit to see it, God willing, in its splendor, v'meher b'yameinu. So here's that, that's a nutshell. Basically, the Gemara is telling us, again, three specific things which are instituted Zeichel L'Chorban. The Ben Yehoyada, that's the Ben Ishchai, in his Pirish on the Gemara here, he says, why these three specific things, the house, the table, and jewelry, he says they correspond very nicely to three things that we lost. The Zeicha of the Chorban that we're making in our house, of course, remembers the Zeicha of the fact that the bias of Hashem, the Beis HaMidrash, was destroyed. The Zeicha that we have on our table, taking off some of our food, is to remember the fact that there's no Mizbeach anymore. The Shulchan of a person is Mechapert on him like the Mizbeach, the Gemara says in many places. So too, he says, we do something different to our table. The tachshitim of a woman holds back and some of her jewelry, that reminds us of the fact we don't have the big day kahuna anymore, the big day kahuna, which were the kovet ul-teferes as a beauty for the kohen gadol. So these are three things which Chazal felt could help remind us on a constant basis of Zeicha L'Chorban. Now, like Rav Meir mentioned before, what exactly, how does this bottom line translate into halacha l'maisa? So I'm not going to be able to cover all the halacha l'maisa of it. I just want to speak out a couple of points of it, and then get to some lundas in the sugya. The Aruch HaShulchan, which is on source number 5 on the sheets, is very bothered, as many paiskim are, that it was not the custom in his day to have see the Zeichel L'Chorban, to see you walk into people's homes, and you wouldn't necessarily see an open area of amah by amah of unfinished wall. And he gets involved in why this is, and in, I'm just not enough time to speak out the Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, but it's nice to see what the Aruch HaShulchan writes in explaining the whole beginning of the sugya. But in Ois Dalet, he says, the reason why he suggests why a limud tzchus, a source of merit for people who don't have it nowadays, is, he says, because nowadays we don't have plaster like they had in the times of Chazal. I'm not in the construction business. I don't know how they make plaster nowadays. I know they use sheetrock a lot. Obviously, sheetrock is not plaster, and plaster is not sheetrock. But even if you use plaster, he says, the plaster we have today is not like they had in times of Chazal. It's not pure. It's already mixed in with many other, I don't call it, I guess not alloys, whatever, you impurities, so to speak, that you mix in with the plasters. That's already, we don't have what Chazal spoke about. That's perhaps one reason why we don't have a Zeichel L'Chorban. Later on, at the end of Ois Hay, he says something even differently. It's not underlined, but it's towards the end of Ois Hay, the bottom of the left paragraph, I would say about 6-7 lines from the bottom. He says there were some Achroinim who were upset that they saw in their day, instead of leaving an unfinished part of the wall, they would paint a black square on their wall. And that would be Zeichel L'Chorban. And many Achroinim felt that was not appropriate, because the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara said you should not have an unfinished part of the wall. The Gemara didn't say make it black. But the Aruch HaShulchan wants to defend it, and he says that slainu by us, he says many people have this black spot on the wall. The kivan, the regilan, since people are accustomed that this is a zeichel lechorbin, he writes shezel haheker lechorbin malonu imkoi v'imkoi. Doesn't really make a difference. The Aruch HaShulchan learns the Gemara was not telling us specifically this is the only way to do it, only to leave an unfinished part of the wall. If it became a standard that people painted a black square, so to speak, on their wall, and people accept it as Zeichel L'Chorban, so according to Aruch HaShulchan, of course this does not go down without a dispute, but I'm saying the Shita of Aruch HaShulchan is that that is sufficient for Zeichel L'Chorban. Moshe Feinstein and Shuvas, the Gris Moshe, Archaim Chelik Gimelson, Pei Vav, discusses this at length as well. He also allows such a practice. He's also Matamiya, he's also bewildered why it's not common practice like the way the Gemara says it. He says the idea is, again, it's the spirit behind the idea that we have to have something in our house which is a Zeichel L'Chorban, whether it's a black spot or whether it's an unfinished part of the wall. But also Ramesha writes very clearly, the Dayak in the Paiskim, this is only if I am building the house from the onset. Let's say, if you buy a house here, let's say in New City, you buy a house and the person lived there before, let's make an easy case, it was a non-Jewish person, and the non-Jew paints the house in order to sell it. And now you move into a home that was just freshly painted by Tim, the non-Jewish owner who's selling it to you, right? So you don't have an obligation, according to the strict letter of law, to strip that paint and get down to the raw plaster of the wall because it was done properly, meaning the guy who did it did not do any iser. It gets a little sticky if you're buying a house from a Jew who was religious, or maybe even not religious, and built the house from scratch and didn't do it, whether or not you're obligated or not. Bottom line is, according to Moshe Feinstein, you're not obligated if it was built in that way and you're moving into a finished product to strip off the wall and make it like that. There are poskim who suggest that you should do it. It's a laudatory to do it, but according to the strict letter of the law, you're not obligated to do it. But nonetheless, even according to Moshe Feinstein, it's appropriate to have something which will commemorate in some way the Chorban somewhere in the front, towards the front of the house. Again, according to the strict letter of the halacha, it has to be right when you walk into the door. The front door, it should be somewhere on the front wall, somewhere near that you can see it right away. Other places can say it could be on top of the front door, so when you're leaving, you see it, or any other place in the house, near the front door, the side wall, wherever. Every person's house might be slightly configured differently, but it should be something that helps us remember the Chorban, and we should, feel that the Beis Hamidrash is still lacking. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, so he told me he wouldn't let me slam the pattern, not the plaster off.
Okay.
When you paint, don't leave a square.
Okay, very good. So you have to sacrifice first that, you don't necessarily have to scratch up, but whenever you repaint it, to leave something. I saw a fascinating idea in a similar vein in the Sefer Imre Pinchas, which was from my ancestor, the Pinchas Mikar. It's one of the earliest Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, that his Talmidim were once in his house and they saw something very strange. He had, whatever it was, some windows in the front of his house. They're all nice, nice windows. And one window was very small as opposed to the other windows. It didn't seem to fit in. And his Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, what's pshat? This window doesn't fit in with the rest. He said, that's a Zeichel L'Chorban. And his Talmidim, that's where the story is brought down, and the Svarim deal with it afterwards. Did he mean it that that's really fulfilling the halacha, or that's fulfilling the spirit of the law? Because it seemed to be in many places in Ukraine and other places in Europe at that time, the Goyim wouldn't even allow the Jews to make a Zeichel Chorban in their house. Baruch Hashem, we live today in America, we have a lot of freedom. It seemed like in Europe, in many places, and in Russia as well, the Goyim wouldn't even let us do certain things within our own home, even behind closed doors. They had a certain dominion over us. However, exactly, unfortunately, that was the situation. So he felt this was the only way he was able to mekayim the halacha on some aspect by making the windows, one window of his house in the row, look obviously different and out of place, so to speak, in order to remember the Chorban. But again, the idea just bringing out is this is the idea that Paiskim are saying that the Zeichel Chorban, although the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch does clearly define what it is, and many people are able to do it the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, but if we're not, there's other ways that we can still fulfill the halacha.
In the Epstein Academy, they have a unfinished spot on the wall, and there's a plaque on top of it, and it says, this spot was unfinished.
Okay, that's very nice to teach a student's lesson, but the halacha mefureshes is that a Beis Knesses and any binyan of tzibur does not need a Zeichel Chorban. The Be'er Halacha discussed it, so it's good to teach the children this halacha, but technically any shul or anything like that is lahedja. They don't need to have such a Zeichel. Let's move on now.
What if you would have a piece of artwork, an image of the coat?
Okay, I was thinking about that. I think it's nice, but I'm gonna say my own idea here. I think it's a good idea and it's great, but if it's one of those art pieces that cost $25,000, I can't imagine that's a Zeichel L'Chorban. That's because you want to show off that you're an art collector.
$50.
You know, I'm just trying to bring out a point. Meaning, if it's a very fancy piece of art, I think it's not going to bring out Zecher Chorban. If it's something which is just a nice picture, and you know, it depicts the scene of Jews davening at the Kotel and the yearning for Mashiach, I think it's great, 100%. I'm just saying, you know, some people, you know, they kid themselves into thinking I'm doing Zecher Chorban, and because they want to spend their money on a beautiful piece of art, and it's very nice. They can buy, you know, you can buy a Kaisel, you can buy some other image, and they buy the Kaisel, but, you know, I think it has to fit in with a certain theme of bringing out the yearning for Mashiach, as opposed to just trying to make our house look like a beautiful palace. Okay, the in source number 6 is a copy from the Sefer Rishimas Shirei of Salvechik from Boston, written by his Talmud, Rabbi Reichman, where he brings out this point we've been kind of discussing till now, but kind of brings it on very strong. He says, it's interesting. We had two Gemaras. We had the Gemara in Sukkah, and we had the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara in Sukkah brought the pasuk of Tzion Hi Darish Ein Law, that we have to proactively do things to remember the Beis Hamikdash. And we had a Gemara in Baba Basra, which brought a different pasuk of Imesh Kachech Yerushalayim, excuse me, Tishkach Yemini, and teach us Zecher LeChorban. What are these two ideas? Why don't we have the same pasuk in both places? Meaning, if Emesh Kachech teaches me the idea we have to do things to remember Yerushalayim, so we should have that Gemara, that should be the source for the Gemara in Sukkah as well, to take out Lulav all 7 days. If the source is Tzion Hi Darish Ein Law, then the Gemara in Baba Basra, thank you, should bring that pasuk as a source that we should do Zecher LeChorban. So our Salvechik explains that really there's two separate ideas here. There's remembering the splendor of the Beis HaMikdash, the beauty of what we had, and remembering the destruction. There's a Zecher LeMikdash, which is the beauty, and the Zecher LeChorban. And it says, really, they're two separate halachas. And really, I saw, I heard this actually once from Matisyahu Salman Shlita, and the Rav Argumat showed to me in a Sefer Matnas Chaim. Really says the same idea as well. It's always beautiful when you can have a piece in a Lamdash Sefer and the same similar idea in a Musa Sefer, really saying the same idea. That there's two aspects of how we remember the Zecher LeMikdash. Remember the Beis HaMikdash. There's the splendor of it and there's destruction. And he speaks it out as follows. The Pasuk in Echa says in the first parak, Zochra Yerushalayim, we have to remember Yerushalayim, the Yimei Onya Umurudeha, the days of its downtroddenness and the fact that it was destroyed. Kol Machmudeha Asher Hayu Yimei Kedem, all its splendor that it was. Says of Salvechik, in this pasuk itself, we see both these two halachas. The Yimei Anya Murudeha, that's the Chorban and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And there's also Kol Machmadeh, seeing all the splendor of Yerushalayim. He says that's pshat, he explains it's on top of left, on left column. He explains that's pshat in a fascinating Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor, at the end of Masechtas Pesachim, discussing the halacha of Sfiras Omer, says a couple interesting chidushim. One of them I just want to share with you has nothing to do with this per se. He discusses why we don't do a sveika diyayma on Sfiras Omer nowadays. If we here we are, we're in Chutz Laaretz. Every other yontif, we do 2 days of Pesach, 2 days of Shavuos, 2 days of Sukkot. Why don't we do 2 days of Sfiras Omer? That's one question he deals with. I'm not going to discuss that right now. I just want to tell you, I think it's a great discussion he has there. Another question he deals with is, why don't we make a Shechayanu on Sfiras Omer? It's a mitzvah. Chazal told us to do the mitzvah. I want to make a Shechayanu. So the Baal HaMor says, he says, because there's agmas nefesh, there's a certain sense of feeling bad. Because we're sad, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Ask for Salvechik, I understand. Zecher LeMikdash is a reason not to say Shechayanu. On Lulav we say Shechayanu, meaning in a typical year when the first day of Sukkot is not on Shabbos, so of course we say Shechayanu because the mitzvah is the Araisa. But in a year where the first day is on Shabbos, so everyone, even in Eretz Yisrael, they're only taking the lulav for the first time on the second day, and we make a Shechayanu, and there the only reason why we're taking the lulav is because it's Zecher LeMikdash. So how can the Baal HaMor tell us that the reason why we can't make a Shechayanu on Sfiras Omer is because it reminds us of the Agmas Nefesh? What do you mean? What about lulav? Lulav we make a Shechayanu. It says of Salvechik, it's because there's two fundamental ideas that are working differently. The Sfiras Omer is reminding us of what we lost, what we don't have anymore. It's putting us into, so to speak, almost like a Tisha B'Av mode. It's remembering the Chorban. Therefore, we can't say a Shechayanu on tongue, which reminds us of the destruction. Lulav is to remind us of the splendor and the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not a Zecher LeChorban, rather it's a Zecher to the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash. He says that's why it fits very geschmack. The halacha is, we know another part of the Zecher HaMikdash remembering is that we march around the Bima with the Sefer Torah on Sukkot when we're holding a Lulav and Esrog. Hashem Rabbi do it 7 times, and that also reminds us of the Beis HaMikdash as to walk around, do hakafas the Beis HaMikdash as well. The halacha though is that unfortunately someone who's in Avel, who's in mourning, he can't walk around. Why? Because it's Simcha. Simcha? What do you mean? It's remembering the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what you would think. Says our Salvechik, no, it is a simcha because it's reminding us of the great time we had in the splendor of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why an Avil can't do it. It's not to remind us of the destruction, rather it's to remind us of the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Shurkin, my Rebbe Shlita, in his Sefer HaRekel Mechelik Beis, also from the notes of Salvechik, says the same idea in the name of his Rebbe Salvechik, and fits it into many of the kinnis. He says, this theme goes to many of the kinnis of Tisha B'Av. He particularly speaks it out by the kinnah called Tzion Haloi Tish Ali, where we contrast some of the things that we do for the splendor of Yerushalayim and some things we do, unfortunately, to remember the structure. He fits it into Korach as well. Okay, we don't have time to speak it out. And again, like I said, Matzio Salman Shlita as well, and his Sefer on Mayadin speaks this out in Sukkot, and he also works in very well why this helps us remember why we do Simchas Beis HaShoeva, why we commemorate it. It's such a big thing. Especially you go to Borough Park in Williamsburg or in Eretz Yisrael, the Rebbe's have this big tishim. It's, you can go to 3-4 in the morning. Why are we being so excited? Should we remind us of the destruction? So there's also the idea to bring out what we had in the Beis HaMikdash and the beauty of it, and to give us that chizik to daven stronger for the bringing back of the Beis HaMikdash. I just want to end off with the Mesilas Yesharim at the end of Perek Yud Tes, where he's talking about the idea of chasidus, of being pious in all our mitzvahs, and he says that besides being a chassid in the actual physical carrying out of the mitzvahs, he says another aspect of being a chassid is someone that we have to be mitzta'er tamid, a tsar on the golos and on the chorban. And we have to be yis'aveh, we have to be desirous and be anticipatory for the geula. And he says, furthermore, he says the end of the first paragraph, the yispalel tamid, we have to constantly daven al geulason shal yisrael, for us to be redeemed, v'ashavas kvod shemayim le'iluyah, and the Hashem's glory should return to the Beis HaMikdash. And then Mesilas Yesharim asks a very hard question. So fine, we have an obligation to daven that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. We can understand that theoretically. He says, "Vim yoyim ha'adam," in the second paragraph, if a person will ask, "Mi ani? Who am I? Umani sofun she'espal al gol shal Yerushalayim? Who am I to daven on the destruction and the Beis HaMikdash?" I'm coming 1900 plus years, unfortunately, later. There were so many great tzaddikim before me who davened and cried. They say by the Chassam Sofer that by Sudam Afsekes, he would dip his bread into the tears and he was crying for the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. We're so far removed from that, unfortunately. So, you know, okay, it didn't work for them. Either it'll come or it won't, so to speak, Chas V'Shalom. So why am I still davening? Says the Mesilas Yesharim, Teshuvasa Betzida, the answer is, Lefikach nivra adam yichidi, quoting a Gemara, every person is individualized in this world for a specific purposes, for a specific purpose. Kedei shekol echad yoymar b'shvili nivra olam. Ukvar nachas ruach ulofanav. It's pleasant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shiubanav mevakshim uspalmazais. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is desirous and wants us to show a tshuka for the Beis HaMikdash. And even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us no right now is not the right time, because it's not the right time, nonetheless, we have to die, we have to do our part. And he says, furthermore, he says, the mission of us, we can't just say, we're not going to get the job anyway, we're not going to do it. That's not the Yiddish Mahalach. The Yiddish Mahalach is we have to start and do what we can, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will figure out when the right time is. But it does not take away from our obligation to daven. And in the Sefer Matnas Chelka, which is the Matzah Siyo Salman Shlita's notes from the classes, from the Vadim he gives on Mesilas Yesharim, so there they bring down different reasons that Matzah Siyo Shlita said over when explaining this Mesilas Yesharim. He quoted from the Mabit in the Sefer based on the Kim says that just like we know, for example, by Moshe Rabbeinu, v'eschanan al Hashem, he pleaded with Hashem 515 tefillos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, stop, one more and I'm going to have to let you into Eretz Yisrael. That was the magic number, for whatever reason. So the Mabit says the same thing for a concert when we're in Golos. There's a certain number of tefillos, a certain number of bakashos that Klai Yisrael has to make. We don't know which one, so to speak, is going to be the million-dollar one, so to speak, the last one that's going to, Be'ez Hashem, open up the gates and let us back. So we can't excuse ourselves by saying, well, what can we do? The previous generation of daven? No, we have to daven in order that we don't know how many tefillos are needed. Furthermore, he says, the Gemara says, like we said before, anyone who's properly mourns for Yerushalayim, he says, what do you mean? We see many great tzaddikim already passed away, and they were misalba Yerushalayim. They definitely properly mourned Yerushalayim. They didn't see the geula. So what's pshat? So he quotes the Ritva. The Ritva in Tainus explains that it's true maybe in their lifetime, their first lifetime, so to speak, they didn't see it. But those who are Mis'abal Yerushalayim, Zeichav Roiv Simchasim, means that there's different levels of Tchiyas Samesim. I don't know exactly all the Madregas over here, but he says there's the early level Tchiyas Samesim, the early birds, so to speak, for those people who were Zeichav and were properly Mis'abal Yerushalayim, they'll get the first Tchiyah. They'll get up first in order to see the Beis HaMikdash. Those who didn't, hopefully they'll get up for the second round, so to speak. But he says, it says in Matasiyahu Salman, it's Pasha, the reason why we need a daven is for our own sake. We want to be Zaycha to see it. Whether it's before we pass away from this world physically or we'll be the early birth to get there first, to get back seats when the Beis HaMikdash comes back. Nonetheless, we have to make sure that we're doing our part to daven properly. I saw just this past Shabbos from Reisman Shlita, Rosh Shivan Tarav Adas, he says over that he used to spend many summers in Eretz Yisrael. And when he was in Yerushalayim for Shabbos, he used to go to the shir of Rabbi Yashav. Rabbi Yashav gave a famous shir in the Tiferes Bechurim Beis Medrash, and he would go for the shir Shabbos afternoon, and there says somebody in the crowd recognized him, Rosh Shiva from Tarav Adas, Reisman Shlita, and they escorted him to sit next to Rabbi Yashav by the shir, and he sat next to Rabbi Yashav by Mincha as well on Shabbos. And you know, he wanted to nutzize the opportunity, he wanted to take advantage of what he had, so you know, he was very carefully watching Rabbi Yashav every step he took to see how he davens, what he does, and he noticed a lot of things. But one of the things he pointed out was that Rabbi Yashav primarily davened a pretty quick Shmoneh Esrei. He stood right next to him, he watched, and he was able to, you know, kind of eavesdrop, so to speak, to hear what was going on. And he said, although he noticed Rabbi Yashav davened a relatively quick Shmoneh Esrei, he noticed there was one point where he deliberately slowed down. The words we say right before Moedim, Hamachazir Shechinasa Letzion, he said, you can feel Rabbi Yashav, he heard, and he felt, I stand next to him, in his voice and in his emotion, that Hamachazir Shechinasa Letzion was something which he was physically shaking by davening, something which really got him to slow down, so to speak, and really put extra kavon in. So I think Be'ez Hashem, to the chizik, and davening probably for the gula, we shall be zeicha this year to the coming of Mashiach Tzakenim, here remain, amen. Amen.
So, wasn't there one time a thing about music? Yeah. Similar to, we're not going to grab, we're not going to play music.
Yeah, I didn't discuss that whole
thing. So, what briefly?
So,
what changed?
Hold on.